All right, so tonight we're going to start the second bracha, the bracha of Gvuros, and start before we talk about the bracha itself or about anything in the bracha, we'll just talk about a general introduction and overview of the second bracha, try to understand a perspective to kind of approach the bracha with. Happens to be that it just worked out that having this week's class, this introduction to the second bracha, by Parshas Toldos, the bracha, the second bracha, is the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu, and so and you know a lot of the discussion, we talk about some things that are central in this week's parsha. So so wanted to come back to answer a question that I mentioned when we were discussing the first bracha, and I think I said that we would push it off until now. So the question is that we mentioned that the Gemara and Sanhedrin, not to go through the whole back and forth of the Gemara, but the Gemara and Sanhedrin basically has the statement that Hashem tells David HaMelech that the reason that he's not going to be included in the Shemona Esrei was because the Avos were tested and he wasn't tested. And we mentioned at the time that, you know, seemingly a strange statement that, what do you mean, David wasn't tested? You know, aside from just, it's hard to imagine anyone who goes through life without being tested, but, you know, specifically David HaMelech, you know, went through many difficult situations, so what does it mean he wasn't tested? So we mentioned at the time the idea that it wasn't just, you know, Stam, that they didn't having a test, but that the Avos had very specifically unique tests that they had, which ran diametric to who they were, to the Mida in which they excelled, which we might call, you know, that which was natural to them, that a Nisayon that went against that. And so at the time we mentioned that Avraham very easily, you know, had the Nisayon. He was the Ish Chesed, he was the Mida of Chesed, and, you know, the Nisayon to kill your own child is obviously very contrary to the Mida of Chesed. And Yaakov had the Nisayon, which we'll talk about when we get to the third bracha, more of the omek, more of the depth of this, but, you know, just on the simple level for now, that Yaakov had the Nisayon, that he was a person of MS, Titan MS Li Yaakov, and he had the Nisayon of tricking his father, right? The person who you have the most dedication to, and to for Yaakov was the person of MS to trick his father. Yitzchak, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what the Nisayon that Yitzchak Avinu had, which was, you know, his Nisayon. We don't find many Nisyonos by Yitzchak at all, at least nothing that seems to be a major climactic life challenge. So we have him being sent from Grar, we have him redigging the wells after Avimelech's servants, you know, but nothing seems to be, you know, a major climactic point of his life. So what was his major challenge? So, as Stuart just made reference to, so we say in Chazar Seshatz of the Yom Noraim Davening of Musaf, we say, Ube ben ha-ne'ekad yashbis midainenu, that through the son who was bound up, that should silence our accuser, and the schus of the son who was bound. We also say, Akedis Yitzchak lezaro hayom berachamecha tizkar, we say that Hashem should remember the Akedah for Yitzchak's descendants. Again, we connect the Akedah to Yitzchak Avinu. So as much as the Akedah was a major Nisayon for Avram Avinu, it seems like the Akedah is also connected, if whenever we're identifying something which should be the schus that we're remembering for Yitzchak, we also mention the Akedah. It seems like the schus associated with Yitzchak is that of the Akedah, and his Nisayon was the Akedah. And we know, and this just to be clear, this is a point that there are Rishonim who argue with this point, but they are seemingly going with the Pshuto Shel Mikra, not going with Chazal when they say this. The Ibn Ezra, for example, says that Yitzchak was, he actually asks as Akasha, that how could it be that Yitzchak was 37 years old, whatever Masorah it is, if, you know, Avraham wouldn't have been able to bind him up if he was 37, so he comes out that he must have been actually much younger. He's really going with, you know, Pshuto Shel Mikra, not going with the interpretation of Chazal. But according to Chazal, Yitzchak knew that he was being ne'ekad. He knew that he was going to be bound. And the pasuk says, that when Yitzchak asked Avraham, where is the, you know, ayeh and Avram says to him, Elokim yirelo haseh la'ola b'ni, and Rashi says, la'ola b'ni is that Hashem will show us the seh, and if there's no seh, then la'ola b'ni, then you, my son, will be the ola. And then the next pasuk says that even so, vayelchu shnehem yachdav, that the two of them went together, belev shaveh, that they went with the same attitude, that even though Yitzchak now knew that he was going to be sacrificed, he still went willingly. And there's a medrash which says that when Avraham was getting ready to do the Akedah, Yitzchak told Avraham that you should bind me because, you know, I'm you know, a strong man, and maybe I'll struggle, and that will invalidate the korban. So in order to make sure that this whole thing goes, you know, works out properly, you should bind me. So Yitzchak submitted himself to the Akedah. So that seems to be the Nisayon of Yitzchak Avinu. But the question is as follows, that giving himself up to be sacrificed is certainly an incredible Nisayon. But how is it contrary to the nature of Yitzchak? If anything, it seems to go along with the Midah of Yitzchak. The Midah of Yitzchak was Gvura, was incredible self-restraint and self-sacrifice. Giving up of the self was seemingly in line with the Midah of Yaakov Avinu. So how exactly do we... I said Yitzchak, right? It was in line with the Midah of Yitzchak Avinu. So how exactly is that the Nisayon which tests Yitzchak's Midah?
Is there any indication that existed before the Akedah, as opposed to saying that he attained that Madriga through the Akedah? Meaning, do we see anywhere else before the story of the Akedah that Midah? I feel like when we talk about that Midah of Yitzchak, it's because of the Akedah. Or just the assumption is that...
Well, you know, we see it throughout his life. Which we'll talk in a minute exactly what that Midah of Gvura is, but I mean, the truth is, before the Akedah, we don't really hear very much about Yitzchak at all.
Right.
We'll see.
Okay.
So we'll leave that for a moment. So the second bracha, which we're gonna start, is the bracha of Gvuros, right? You look in your art scroll sitter, and it's labeled as the bracha of Gvuros. That's a Chazal, and it could refer to it as Gvuros. And Chazal call it the bracha of Gvuros. Just to note, it's also the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu. Each of the first three brachos correspond to one of the avos. The first one's pretty straightforward. Magen Avraham is by Avraham, and the second bracha is Yitzchak, and the third bracha is Yaakov. Yaakov is the Midah of Kedusha. We'll talk about that when we get there. But the pasuk says, "V'igdishu es Kedosh Yaakov." Yaakov is associated with Kedusha. But so the Rishonim, the Rashba, and others, they set up this relationship that each bracha of the first three brachos corresponds to one of the avos, and the second bracha is the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu. Is the Chazal call it Gvuros, which means, you know, strength is the often, you know, Gvura is associated with, you know, din, with a certain kind of judgment. If you look at the bracha does an awful lot of mentioning chesed. Lots of things that sound like favors that Hashem does for us, somich noflim and rofei cholim, etc. So where is the gvura? Exactly what is the gvura that is the theme of this second bracha? So the second question. So we'll start with Yitzchak Avinu. So if we look at Yitzchak Avinu, the life of Yitzchak Avinu, the descriptions that the Torah gives us, so we find in Yitzchak a very interesting dichotomy. Yitzchak is, as a character, is very passive. Things mostly happen to him. You find that, you know, that he... went to Grar, and, you know, his wife, that happened to Avraham either, his wife was given back, he's told you could live here, that he was, the whole story with Yaakov and Esav kind of happened to him. Things in Yitzchak's life, we find a lot of what Yitzchak did, or a lot of Yitzchak's life was things that happened to him. And not only that, but many of the things that we find about Yitzchak are the life of Yitzchak was constantly reconstructing the life of Avraham. Avraham went down to Mitzrayim. Yitzchak wanted to go down to Mitzrayim, and Hashem told him not to. Avraham went to Gerar, and Yitzchak went to Gerar. Avraham's told them that this is my sister, not my wife. And Yitzchak says, my sister, and his wife was taken. Right, a whole lot of thematic similarity. Avraham dug wells, and Yitzchak redug the wells and named them the names that his father had named them. Right, that there's a whole lot of repetition of reconstructing of the life of Avraham in Yitzchak. And in fact, the first pasuk of this week's parsha is Eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holid es Yitzchak. That these are the results. This is the outcome of the effects of Yitzchak's life. Avraham holid es Yitzchak. The toldos of Yitzchak was that he was Avraham's progeny. That's the sum total of Yitzchak, is that he was the son of Avraham Avinu. And Rashi there says in one shot that Yitzchak looked just like Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak in a major way seems to be an echo of Avraham Avinu. So that's one element of Yitzchak, as you find this kind of that he's, you know, kind of a more of a passive figure. He's kind of repeating what Avraham did. We also find by Yitzchak the idea of bracha and success, right? Pasuk in this week's parsha and Parak Chavav, Pasuk Yud Bey says, "Vayimtza b'shana hahi ba'aretz ahu mea sha'arim," that in that year, in that place, in a bad year, in a difficult place, that he produced 100 times more than what would have been expected to produce even in a good year. Vayevarchehu Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. And the next pasuk says, very interesting pasuk says, Vayigdal ha'ish ad ki vaholich vegadol ad ki ha'isa gadol me'od, something to that effect, that he became greater and he kept getting great until he was mamish really great. He was and this idea of growth by Yitzchak, and we find this theme of bracha by Yitzchak, and the idea of bracha we mentioned before is the idea of riboy, the idea of increasing. The shoresh of bracha, beis reish chaf, is 222, and the idea of two is the idea of one is a single. The point at which you have riboy, the point at which you have multiplicity, is when you have two, and that's bracha is the riboy. And you find this theme by Yitzchak, this incredible idea of growth and riboy. The Gemara in Pesachim says, we mentioned this I think last week, that the Gemara says that the pasuk says, "Ve'aschal goy gadol." So the pasuk says, "Ve'eschal goy gadol." That's that we say, "Elokei Avram." Va'avarechecha. Remember which it is. Zusha omrim Elokei Yitzchak. That's what we say, "Elokei Yitzchak." That the reference to Elokei Yitzchak in the bracha is that which it says, "Va'avarechecha." That I will bless you, because the idea of bracha, we find the strong association of bracha to Yitzchak Avinu. So we have, on the one hand, this idea that Yitzchak seems to be somewhat a static character. He's just rebuilding the life of Avraham Avinu. On the other hand, we find this idea of growth in bracha, and exactly the relationship of those two elements of Yitzchak. What is it? So the gvura that Yitzchak had, to understand what this midah of gvura is, the gvura that Yitzchak had, just like the chesed that Avram had, was a reflection and a representation of the chesed of Hashem, the gvura that Yitzchak had was a representation of Hashem's midah of gvura. So we can really start by trying to get an understanding of what the midah of gvura by Hashem is. So the Gemara in Ksubas on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and the Gemara there says that the Gemara there says that the Gemara says the Maharsha there in Ksubas on the Gemara in Ksubas on Daf Hey Amud Aleph So the Gemara is there talking about that Hashem's right hand and Hashem's left hand, and the Marshal says, just read the Marshal, he says, Asher b'gvuraso yis'ale, that Hashem in his gvura, mevi chayim la'olam, brings life to the world. Asher al zed nis yased, and based on this midah of Hashem's gvura, which brings life to the world, was the basis for Ata Gibor Leolam Hashem Mechayim Esim. You are a Gibor for always, Hashem Mechayim Esim, and you bring life to the dead. Hefach Teva HaGvura Shel Adam, which is the opposite of the Gvura of mankind, Shemei Misachayim, that they bring death to that which is alive. So says the Marsha, the Gvura of Adam, of mankind, the strength of Adam is that it brings death to that which is living. It can overcome something else and, you know, squelch it. But the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Gvura, that he brings life to the world, the opposite of the Gvura of man, which brings death to the living. So exactly what does that mean? So try to understand it with a mashal. Mashal Chazal give in a different context. But the mashal that Rebbe and Antoninus were good friends, and lots of stories in Shas about the relationship between Rebbe and Antoninus. But Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was the leading Torah sage of his time, and Antoninus was the Roman emperor of the time, or the Roman whatever his position was, but he ruled it certainly in Eretz Yisrael at least. So once Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi took Antoninus to his roof to show him the view. And Antoninus became very upset, very distraught, since Rebbe had a better view than he had from his palace, even though his palace was taller and it was a palace and whatever it was. He had a better view, and he was very bothered by this. He was very upset. So he complained to Rebbe, to Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, and Rebbe explained that the reason was because he, you know, kept the Torah and mitzvos, and therefore, and one of the mitzvos is the mitzvah of makkah. His roof had a guardrail. So when Antoninus wanted to look off of his roof, when he wanted to enjoy the view, he had to stand back several feet to avoid the danger of falling over. So he couldn't access the full view that his roof really offered to him. But when Rebbe went to look at his view, so not only could he approach all the way to the edge, he could even lean out to see further. So thus he was able to take full advantage of the view that his roof afforded to him. So the boundaries that he set around his roof enhanced that which was contained within it. The Gvura of Hashem is Gvura that's nurturing and it brings growth. The setting of boundaries brings out the full potential of that existence, which is having the boundaries set around it. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim says that when he talks about what each of the Avos before Matan Torah, before there were mitzvos, each of the Avos did, you know, a certain thing. Avraham, you know, Mila. So he says that Yitzchak was Mafrish Meiser. We learned from this week's Parsha that Yitzchak separated Meiser. Meiser is the trimming of your assets in order to increase them. That the Gemara says that Te Aser Kedesha Tis Asher, that by taking the miser off is how you bring bracha into your wealth and how you actually become wealthier through that. That was the midah of Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was setting boundaries on something which are there to enhance that which is being protected. And that was the midah of Yitzchak Avinu. Avraham was the pillar of chesed. Is the, so to speak, the material, the building blocks of creation, the input, the raw material, is that shefa of chesed, of raw energy, as we discussed in the first bracha when we discussed chesed, the idea of just, you know, the shefa, giving the energy to something else, that's chesed. The avoda of Yitzchak was to define and to concretize that which Avraham had brought down into the world, to solidify it. That Eile Toldos Yitzchak, Avraham Holides Yitzchak, the tachlis, the purpose of Yitzchak, was the realization of that which Avraham had started. His avoda involved repeating and concretizing that which Avraham had done, and confining himself to that arena was his area of avoda, but in the end, he brought out bracha and growth through the actualization of Avraham's accomplishments. Because what Yitzchak Avinu was doing was Yitzchak Avinu was making real, putting a reality, bringing out giving a form and a shape, and concretizing that which Avraham Avinu had brought into the world. Rabbi Teitelbaum pointed out to me that Avraham was told, Lech Lecha. Avraham was told, Lech Lecha Me'artzcha, go from where you were. Avraham's job was to leave. Yitzchak was told, don't leave. Al Teir Mitzrayim Gur Ba'aretz. Stay in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was told to stay. The Midah of Avraham was to leave from where he was, to go somewhere else, to take to something new. Yitzchak's job was Gur Ba'aretz. He was supposed to stay in the land which Avraham had begun the inhabiting of, and his job was to within the place where you are now, to bring out that bracha. And that was in Ba'aretz Ahi, in that land, that he found Mei Asharim, that he found all of the bracha. The Akedah was the antithesis of Yitzchak, because self-sacrifice, gvura, which is strangling, gvura, which ends in existence, what the Maharsha called the gvura of mankind, that brings misa to the chayim, meimis achayim, that's the antithesis of Yitzchak. To end something, to limit it in a constricting way, which suffocates it and brings it out of existence, that's the opposite of Yitzchak. Yitzchak's midah was a midah of gvura, which brings growth to something. For Yitzchak to submit himself to be killed, to end himself, that's the opposite of the tachlis. Yitzchak's whole midah is a gevura, which brings something to a higher level, which brings something to be enhanced, which brings something to be nourished in the end. As the submitting himself to the Akedah was the test against what he stood for, because it was a gevura which brought an end to something. Esav, we mentioned that Avraham had two children. He had Yitzchak and Yishmael, and Yishmael was Avraham had the meat of Chesed, and Yishmael was the psoles, was the discarded extreme of the meat of Chesed being misapplied, and that had to be sent out of Klal Yisrael. And that's Avraham had Yitzchak and Yishmael was sent out. Yitzchak also had the same refinement of his midah of gvura, was he had Yaakov and he had Esav, and Esav was the psoles, Esav was the inappropriate extreme of the midah gvura. Esav was Yitzchak's son who took that midah of Yitzchak to the wrong extreme, just like Yishmael did with Avraham, and Esav was the gvura without the balance of that being in the context of the chesed of Avraham. That's why Esav was a murderer. And Esav's descendants, when Hashem offered the Torah to Edom, so they rejected the Torah because of Lo Sirtzach. They said, our father was, our father's life was defined by Al Charbecha Tichyeh. You live by the sword. We can't accept the Torah which says Lo Sirtzach. We can't take a Torah which says don't murder. That's who we are. Because that's their midah is gvura taken to that extreme in which the nature of that gvura is that it ends a life, that it squelches something, that it destroys something. But the gvura of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and correspondingly the gvura of Yitzchak Avinu, is gvura which is mechayim esim. Take this one more step. The Zohar says that Yitzchak had the neshama of a nekeva, says that he had a female, a feminine soul. And in the Seder Adoros, it actually identifies which female. It says that Yitzchak Avinu actually was a Gilgal of Chava, had the soul of Chava, of the paradigm, prototype female. So what exactly does it mean that Yitzchak had a female neshama? What exactly is the idea? So the word nekeva, which means female, is the same word, the same lashon, like what Lavan says to Yaakov, Nakva, the same word, Nekeva Nakva, Nakva Scharcha Alai. When Yaakov tells Lavan, I have to start earning money for myself, and And so Lavan says, okay, stay and work for me. And Nakva Schar Chalai, determine, set your wages. Pick what it is that you want to earn. Yaakov responds to him by saying, I don't want to set my wages. I want that we'll just make this deal and Hashem will give me what I'm supposed to get. I don't want it limited by, you know, if it's $20 an hour, so then it's no more, no less. But if it's that, you know, that I'll get all of the sheep, which are Nikudim, Matudim, and whatever the different descriptions over there that Balei Kriya have to remember, that now it's something which could be dynamic. But what Lavan was trying to offer him was Nakva Schar Chalai, was that it should be set, it should be unchanging. And the word Kav, right, Kav L'Kav, Kav means measured, it means a measurement. That's what a Kav is, it's a unit of measurement. The word, I mean, be very careful to understand this, the word nekeva comes from the same shoresh as the word kov, which means a curse. Because the idea of a bracha, as we mentioned, is that something increases. The idea of a curse is that something should be stuck the way it is. It should be static. The idea of a kov is that something should be stuck the way it is, that there shouldn't be growth. And that's what does it have to do with female? Just the zachar in general in the relationship, but if you need to see it, it's manifested in the act of creating a child. The zachar, he provides the input, the raw materials. The zera that he provides, that's, you know, so to speak, the material from which this child will be formed. He has a momentary input. You know, if for the next 9 months he's nowhere to be found, it wouldn't change any. I mean, might change how angry she is at him, but other than that, it's not going to change anything in the development of the child. He provides that moment of haschalah, of the start, the chiddush, the innovation, that original input which is given from one to the other. The role of the nekeva, the art of being female, is to take a spark and to develop it, to keep it to be what it is, not to change its nature, but to develop it, to hold it in and nurture it. The gvura, the limitation that builds something up, that's the job, the role of an isha, and the challenge of an isha, and you'll find this in real life, if you look, is that, you know, you'll seldom find a father who looks at his three-week-old baby and says he's growing up so fast. But you'll find that by new mothers, that, you know, that he's not the same newborn that he was, and it's hard for them. Because the midah of nekeva is that they want something to stay the same. And the challenge is to, the stepping back is to allow something, not to smother something. Right, that's the cliche, is that the mother is the one who's smothering with affection. That's not so off. It's the challenge of being a nekeva, because the natural role of a nekeva is to set something, is to give something its form, and to try and preserve what it is. But it also has to be given the room to grow. Chazal say that women have bina yesira, an added element of understanding or intuition. The word bina comes from the Lashon of bone, to build something up. Rashi says that bina means maven davar mitoch davar, to take that knowledge and develop it to the next step. That's what women have, that added element of taking what's there and developing it further. The mitzvah of the zachar is to start something new. That's part of the reason some of the Balei Machshava say that a man can have multiple wives, mida oraisa, but a woman can only have one husband. Because a man, his mida is chiddush. His mida is to innovate, to start something new. A woman, her mida is to focus on what's there. So her natural state is to be part of one static relationship. The man has to be kovesh himself. To be, it's more natural for a man to seek, he has to overcome this nature, but it's more natural for a man to seek other relationships than it is for a woman to. A woman who is satisfied within her relationship doesn't understand how her partner, her husband could also be satisfied but still have problems with Shmiras Einayim, of looking at other women, because it's the nature of man, is looking for something new. It's something he has to overcome. He's not supposed to be looking at other women. But that's part of the midah of the female is to focus on what's there and to build it, not to start something new, but to develop what's there. And this was the midah of Yitzchak Avinu, to take that which he received from his father and to develop it and nurture it. Shemayim and Aretz also echo this relationship. Chazal tell us that Shemayim was created with the letter Yud, while Aretz was created with the letter He. I think we mentioned this Gemara a few weeks ago, that Ki beka Hashem tzur olamim, that with the name Ka Yud He, Hashem formed the world. And the Gemara proves how we know that Olam that this world that Aretz is with the Hey and Shemayim is with the Yud. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph says that Ish and Isha, that man and woman, that a couple, if they are zoche, if they're meritorious, if they whatever it means that they're zoche, it says that the Shechina rests among them. But if not, then fire will consume them. Whereas, what is it? Why? Where does that come from? Because the word for man is ish, and the word for woman is isha, and they both consist of the letters aleph and shin, which make up fire. If you have the yud in the hay, if there's zocha, then they are ish and isha with the yud in the hay. But if not, if they don't have that schus, then it's just aish, then it's just the destruction. They both consist of the aleph and the shin. The aish is the, but the man has the yud, and the woman has the hay. The yud hay is one of the names of Hashem. If they're worthy, they have the yud hay. They have the shechina rests among them. But if Hashem's not in the relationship, then it's fire. Then it's destructive. The man adds the yud, and the woman adds the hay, because the man corresponds to Shemayim, and the woman corresponds to Aretz. The relationship of Shemayim and Aretz is a Shemayim is the one that gives to Aretz rain. Gishmei Shemayim, right? The rain comes from the bracha comes from Shemayim. Aretz accepts that, and then something grows out of Aretz. Aretz is the place, the context in which the growth happens, which something can nurture and develop in the Aretz, and that's the female role in that relationship. The relationship of Kiddushin is learned from the purchase of Ephron's field. Right, the idea of an isha, of a kinyan of an isha, is learned from the kinyan of a sadeh, and Tosos actually learns out a certain halachic nafkamina from that. Not to get into the technicalities, but that the Tosos says that the isha is the sadeh of the baal, that the isha is the, so to speak, the field of the husband. What exactly does that mean? That's the midah of isha, is the midah of sada, of the context in which growth happens. That's why it's appropriate that the source, the limud of that relationship, is learned from the kinyan of the sada of Ephron, because that's the same. It's the acquiring a means to invest in something and create something new. Shemayim gives the geshem, and Aretz receives it and brings out growth. And just one last point is that all of the Avos had a certain association of where they davened. We mentioned last week, we talked about that Avraham was Makom, that it was Vayamod Sham Bamakom Asher Amad Sham Varishona, and Yaakov has is bias, Einze Kiyim Beis Elokim. Yitzchak went Lasuach Basadeh, right? Yitzchak's Midah was the Midah of Sadeh. Because that was the mid of Yitzchak Avinu, was that mekabel who then you take something and able to develop that into something new. That was the mid of Yitzchak Avinu, and that's the bracha of Gvuros. The bracha of Gvuros, it's all about the chasadim that Hashem does to maintain the chesed that's there. that you take somei chnoflim, those who are falling are supported, and rofei cholim, those who are sick are healed. It's not that it's not something new. It's the chesed which is done to sustain the life which is there already, and even mechayim esim, even bring life back to the dead. It's not the, we'll talk about, there are references in the bracha to birth. We'll talk about, but that the. But that mechayim esim in the most basic is it's a life which was there, which is being resuscitated, which is being renewed. It's not the creation of a new life. It's the bringing out to its final completion the life which was there. And that is the gvura of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the gvura which it is setting a limitation, and it is defining that this is what's there. There's nothing new coming into here, but it's giving a new dimension, a new growth, and a new bracha to that which is there. All right.
Excellent.